Yes, sir. So is anyone feeling this, inverted commas, mid-season break?
But I'll be playing tomorrow.
I just think they should have maybe played less games over Christmas, or maybe had a break around that time. I just think now it just feels like and there's games, but there's not enough games. There's like three games and like maybe not enough for a match of the day, and then one game gets called off because of the wind as well. Mm. So nah, it ain't been good for me.
Did they do match of the day this weekend?
Yeah, yeah.
They did.
And match of the day too as well.
Oh, with what, man. Two games?
I haven't checked.
One game. One
wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah, just do a proper break like everyone else does.
Huh? At least you get extended highlights at that point.
What was the game? Sheffield United versus Bournemouth.
Oh, never mind.
I mean, it wasn't the worst game. Right, it was a good game, but I don't want to see it anywhere. Okay.
But you got to realise, though, I think the Premier League with a product, they can't have a break. They can't have a break for 2 weeks. It will piss off all the other international rights, and that's why they had to stagger it, I reckon.
You think?
Yeah, they couldn't.
You just think a 10-day, 2-week blackout would have just would have pissed off too many.
No, but it's about it's commercial end of the day, isn't it? So they're saying we'll stagger it. So if you were weren't playing, it will be like
so there's something.
It's something, yeah. Okay. But it's a halfway house. That's what
but I don't
like.
Get why they do like four games 1 week and 8 games the next week. It doesn't really make sense.
So basically, everybody gets a week, isn't it? Basically, that's what it means.
Yeah, but like then do it half, right?
Or do it like the NFL and have a bye week. Like, if you're going to have, like, a group of teams, the problem is by doing this, it's like 2 weeks where there's basically nothing happening, but it's not nothing's happening, so we still have to turn up and talk about it.
Exactly. But I'm sure you've got plenty of good topics for us to talk
about. Always. And on that note, this is the Football Fans Podcast with myself, Jordan Jarrett, Brian here. Once again, as usual, tell your friends about the pod, share it out, get it out there, subscribe if you haven't already. I'm across all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. On the pod this week, we're joined by Chelsea fan G. As you mentioned, you heard there, is claiming, what was it, 1 week closer to Champions League?
Yeah.
Like literally, because next week you're playing. What do you mean, like, in terms of next season?
Well,
you're going
to be. Well, yeah, I mean, it's 1 week closer to May. We're still in the spot, so it's 1 week closer.
1 week closer to. 1 week further away from winning.
Jesus.
Again.
Who have you got again? Bayern Munich.
So, the next three games, you've got United, Tottenham, and Bayern Munich.
Jeez.
Pair for you, man. Yeah, don't worry.
Tammy up front. Could get a bit of pain.
And he carried injury as well.
Nah, he'll be back by then.
Yeah.
This is Tammy, Superman.
I mean, I don't personally rate a fully fit Tammy Abraham.
Oh.
So, fit Tammy. You ain't got no chance. Anyway.
Well, unfully fit Tammy still banged at the Emirates.
True.
Oh, you killed me. Also, United fan Josh, what are you saying?
I'm good, you know.
You're right.
Enjoying life.
We'll get to a goal in a minute, so we'll see how you're doing there.
And the coronavirus.
Fellow Nigerian, isn't it? Can't.
We'll come back to that in a minute.
Let's go with that.
Okay, and we'll come back to that in a second. I'm making his debut on the FFP. We have Leeds United fan Isaiah. What are you saying?
Good evening.
You all right?
I'm blessed, bro. I'm blessed.
Good. We don't make a habit of having non-Premier League
fans. Wow.
In fact, we've never had it before.
Sorry.
So we're breaking the rules. We're breaking the rules. One, because I like you, and two, because Leeds are a story. So I thought I'd invite you on because it's good/bad times depending on whether you want Leeds back in the Prem or not. We're gonna get to Leeds in just a little bit. So we'll discuss Leeds in just. You know what? Let's start with Leeds. Let's start with Leeds.
Right, get it over and done with.
Yeah.
then I can leave. Yeah.
What's going on, man? It's happening again, isn't it?
Boy.
You're singing the song.
I mean, that was Tottenham's song, but you lot are stealing the song. What's,
do you know what?
2-0 defeat on the weekend to Nottingham Forest. It's your local rivals. It's never a game you want to lose.
Not quite local, but yeah, okay.
There's a rivalry there.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Pretty much half the championship, to be fair. But it's hard to say. It's hard to wrap up into one. I was thinking about on Saturday, and I thought as simple as this is that our greatest strength is Bielsa. Our greatest weakness is Bielsa.
My next question is Bielsa your blessing and curse?
Exactly that. And I think with Bielsa, he said in the past, he said he could have bigger jobs with bigger budgets. He hasn't taken it because he doesn't like the project. It's not romantic enough. It's not his way. And he's not a football coach. He's a football philosopher. So he's going to tell the players, you play this Bielsa ball, no matter whether your head's down, your heads are up, your heads are sideways, whatever, play it. And what I saw on Saturday is we've got average players who are long confidence trying to play Bielsa ball and they can't do it. So we should have, like, basically Warnock tactics on Saturday, hump it into the channels, get the pace on it, get them turning, and just don't concede and see what drops off. Mm. But what we done, we lost the ball in the middle of the pitch, the ball broke, they scored, bang, up against it. And that's what's been happening, we conceded the first goal. So That's what it is right now. The players are playing their level. The thing is, a lot of Leeds fans are pissed on Twitter. Everybody's pissed. But at the end of the day, we're still second. Brentford away next is tough. Mm. And it's just you just gotta go for it at this minute. It's only 15 games left. We can still do it, but it's right now. He's got to drop the principles a little bit just before let the boys get their heads up. That's what it is.
Does it start and end for you with Bielsa's tactics now? Because we're seeing
no, it's people, not just him.
Because this is like a good 10 years now, when a good portion of those years you threatened to kind of
get promoted. I disagree, Jordan.
You think it's more than that?
Out of it for 16, but okay. Don't get it twisted.
But a large part of that, there's been some seasons where you threatened
there were pants before Bielsa got there.
Josh Beasy.
There were pants.
Really?
Beasy. I think the thing is, Josh is kind of right. We wasn't really challenging for playoffs. What it was that the season before Bielsa got, we were 13th. And usually this part of the season, I didn't really care who Leeds were playing on the week. Weekend. Oh yeah, I'll check the result. If they're on TV, I'll watch. But there's no hope. But in football, it's the hope that kills you. Right now, there's a lot of these fans of hope. Like, we're hoping because we're there, we're in and about it. So right now, we're not always competitive at this stage of the season. Yeah, we're not a good start. Maybe 10 games in, top six. But at this stage of the season, we're usually like 13th. So right now,
you're doing better than you were before.
What it is, it's average players that played above their station for half a season. At this stage of the season, when it gets a bit difficult, that's their level. This is now their level. Mm. So right now, what they've got to play it simple. Nottingham Forest ain't a great team, but they play it simple. Mm. They don't mess about at the back. They play to their strengths. They play it simple. They got the title back, but we ain't got that rigid nature. We're always playing high risk football, which plays us into trouble when we're not on it.
Josh, do you think that they can get promoted with Bielsa in charge? Because I take yours and Zai's point there that they've never had it so good in the Championship than under Bielsa. But the way that he wants to play football, and in that league in particular, where there's so many games and it is so physical, they're going to always just burn out. And he ain't changing.
Hey, George, sorry, I got to interject there. It's a trend. But all the stats, running stats, Leeds are always hitting their running stats. They always hit their running stats, even open form. So it's not really about physical burnout. It's whether they've got the technique to deliver in the final third, especially.
It's just lacking the quality.
It's lacking the quality. And I think it's the mental thing as well. I think the intensity and the players, like once it gets to crunch time, you know, they haven't got the killer instinct to deliver when it matters. And it's not really physical burn. I think it's part of mental and whether they got the actually been there before to do it. But sorry,
he seems quite stubborn, Bielsa. Do you think he will stay there until he gets this job done, or do you think that he might bounce this season if they don't get promoted?
He is quite stubborn. I don't know if, like, he'll stay if it doesn't happen this season, because I think he's probably going to be quite frustrated. But I feel like people are jumping the gun a little bit. Like, I know it happened last season, but, you know, they're 4 points off top. Okay, they've had a bad run, I think, 1 win in 10 games or something like that.
4 losses in 5?
Yeah, like, it's a bad run, but at some point in the season, you got to have a bad run, and then it's about whether you can turn that around. And I take Zai's point about the mentality of the players. Like, they don't really have players who are used to being in that type of battle, right? So there might be a mentality issue, but when I look at it, the one thing that sticks out to me with Leeds is two things. One, the first thing is that they've got a lot of average players. They've got a couple of really good players, but they've got a lot of average players. The second thing is, I don't think in that squad there's a bona fide goal scorer. Mm-hmm. So there comes a problem. When you're not playing well, you need that player out who's still going to get the goals, like, even though the team's not doing well. And Patrick Bamford isn't the guy.
We're going to come to him. Yeah.
So, and obviously they had Nketiah, but it didn't really work out for him either there. Like, he didn't play a lot enough. So maybe that was Bielsa's fault. But he didn't really have an outstanding goal scoring record there either. So I think that's what they're missing. I think a lot of people are like saying Bielsa this or Bielsa that. But I just look at the squad and say, For that team, you look at all of the teams in the Championship, every single one of them that's challenging for promotion has a serious goal scorer up front. They don't have one. Mm-hmm. So I think they're punching above their weight, and at some point, this is what happens, right? They're going to go through a spell where it doesn't work out for them. So and I understand the thing about tactics, but I'm kind of in the Bielsa type camp where the tactics that he's using has got a bunch of average players punching way above their weight, smacking teams in the league. So if that's what you know, it works. Like, even if you switch to pumping the ball into the channel, all that kind of stuff. If you want the team to get to where he wants to, they need to understand how to play the way they're playing under adversity, or they're never going to win anything.
But taking Zai's point, if it's a quality issue, they could buy into his ideals and philosophy all day long. If they just don't have the quality, he has to change.
What I'm saying, we've seen for two seasons now that they have the quality. What I'm saying is that they don't have the mentality. I'm not saying that, if you have really good tactics, you can make a team with average players, because a team is the sum of its parts, right? Mm-hmm. You can make a team with average players really, really good. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he's done. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to crunch time, obviously around Christmas, there's a lot of games, right? The games start piling up, and when you lose two games in a row, the heads drop, and then it's about not necessarily about your quality, it's about your mentality. So I was saying downstairs that Patrick Bamford the other day didn't want the ball up front. So that's, to me, that's mentality. It's not quality. Mm. It's basically he's under the cosh because he isn't scoring goals.
He doesn't want it. Mm.
He doesn't want the ball. Mm. So, I think it's more a case of the players are just not the right type of players mentally to maintain a title. But we don't know, because they can turn it around between now and the end of the season. It's only 4 points off top.
It's only 4 points, G. Is now almost the time when you want to have your bad run? Or do you think that this could just, as we saw last season, just be the start of them falling off?
Well, ideally,
you're laughing for.
No, I just thinking, no one wants to have a bad run, right?
As someone earlier said, at some point in the season, you're going to have a dip. And is it not better to have that dip now, or there's time to recover? Or do you just think that this is repetition of last year? This is the start of the end?
There are some teams who are able to maintain it, more or less. But I think the reason, because it happened last year, it probably seems a lot worse than what it is. It's only 4 points off the top. That's two results away from being in a great position again. And I don't watch it every week, but watching it casually, I kind of do think that Leeds will fall off now. And I think West Brom will definitely take first. And I do think that maybe one of the other teams, Fulham or maybe even Forest might kind of just pip, because Championship, you always kind of get someone who goes on the late run.
But watch out for Brentford, you know. Brentford are possibly one of the best teams in that league. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've been playing good ball for like 4 or 5 years.
And they've got a serious goal scorer.
Serious three up front. Watkins, Benrahma, and then Mbeumo. Those boys are a problem. Mm. Trust me, them three, they get promoted, they're going to do things in the Prem. Them three up front, ballers.
But what you're saying about momentum, it's sometimes I almost find it, so it's almost even, let's say Leeds crashed totally in January and they fell out of the playoffs. Mm. If they got a bit of momentum towards the playoffs, towards the end of it, and kind of got their form then, that wouldn't actually be the worst thing. They probably look at it now and say, no, we don't want that. We want automatic promotion. Mm-hmm. But momentum can work in both ways in the championship, but ideally, I think and Zai will probably say the same thing. You'd want them now to pick up results and kind of go to the end of the season and finish second. But I'm just not sure they will.
Zai, be real. Do you almost like being in the championship?
You know what? I'll tell you this. When we was, I think 2004 or 2005, we got relegated. Terrible, terrible season. And all my mates, United fans, it was awful. At least when you're winning and playing decent football, it's all right. Mm. So I think worst comes to the worst, we're in the championship next season. We sell Phillips, we reinvest, we'll have Bamford again. But but I'll tell you what, I think if we do stay in the championship next season, Bielsa's gone. We had to persuade him to stay for this year. He's looking like he was going to leave. He's ghost. If we don't go up, he's ghost.
He's the sort of man that even if he did get promoted, I could still see him dancing. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
The reason why I asked you that is because I remember speaking to a Bournemouth fan a little while ago, and a fan of another team as well, Fulham. It was as well. And when Fulham were going down, it was clear they were going down. Was it last season? Towards the end of the season, and they were saying, it was Jack actually comes on his pod quite a lot. He was saying that actually he doesn't mind being in the championship because you get to play some good football, you get to win some games. The Premier League isn't the be-all and end-all. Fulham are not a big club. You're a bigger club, obviously, so maybe there's a status reason why you'd want to be in the Premier League. But some fans actually don't mind being in the championship. Do you know what I mean? I just wondered if you secretly, you know what I mean, as a fan base.
No, I hear you. Since Bielsa came in, I ain't enjoyed supporting Leeds this time in a long, long, long time. Like, watching Leeds live, pop ball, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. We've had some dead managers before Bielsa. So, I mean, the last 2 years have been exciting. Even this season, like I said, we got actual hope. This time of the season, usually, I put my feet
you're
up.
Done. Yeah.
I watch the game. Maybe I don't watch the game. We're 13th. We're going nowhere. Not going to go down. We're mid-table, whatever. So, at least we're in it. And to be fair, right now, I think that's what the play, that's the thing what the players do. That you're in it. Go out there and compete. See what you can do for the last few weeks of the season.
Hey Josh, how bad is Bamford? Because it seems like if he it was even...
Harsh.
If he missed half the chances, if he scored half the chances he missed, they'd still be in a good position. He's missing like so many chances.
I don't know how bad he is, but the what kind of I find interesting, there was one point, wasn't he at Middlesbrough?
Yeah, and he had
a really good season. Yeah. And I think he was on loan. He was on loan, Chelsea. Yeah. And so like people were saying, I actually thought, oh, he might be able to do a thing. But ever since then, I think, did he have a season in the Prem?
Yeah, he had one at Palace.
He's been
loaned a few times for the Prem.
Yeah, he's been poor for a long time.
Is he poor or is he just having a massive confidence crisis?
Nah, he must be. Like, this long.
It's a long time.
Like, if you look at it as well, that good season was the purple patch. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, it's almost like...
We're seeing the real Bamford
now. That was the anomaly. Yeah.
And just finally, on Leeds and Bamford's side... Are Leeds almost then at fault more so than him? Because if they're investing their time and they're playing him, boy, if he's not good enough, he's not good enough. What can he do? Do you blame Leeds?
Do you know what? Let me try and wrap up Bamford real quick. It's hard because it's a very interesting topic. So it's very hot parsh to blame Bamford solely.
Mm.
There's a front three. Look at Brentford's front three. They all chip in. Mm-hmm. Our front three ain't chipping in.
Mm.
So I think Bamford's XG is -7. Based on chances that he's had. So he's got one of the worst XGs compared to the chances he gets. When I watch Bamford, and I've seen him quite a few times, he's just not... He doesn't have natural instincts. He doesn't like... Sometimes you get the ball. Sometimes just shooting early sometimes. Shooting low and early. He never does that. And I think I said it one time in a WhatsApp group. He has composure to miss. He always looks calm. But he misses. And I think we was away at QPR.
Composure to miss.
We went 1-0 down to a dodgy Naki Wells goal. That's the EFL refs, but let's say nothing about that.
Jeez.
He missed the penalty and he missed the 1-on-1. And it's like, that's where it is, isn't it? That's 3 points away from home. 1-0 down, we'll come back. Bamford's the hero. But those are the chances he routinely misses. Though saying that, the counterbalance to Bamford is, our XG is up when Bamford plays in the team. Because when he's on it, he drops deep, he plays guys in, and he bullies centre-backs. For a posh boy, he does bully centre-backs in the Championship now again. So I can't be totally harsh on Bamford because I'm a Leeds fan. I salute to support your team through thick and thin. He has got 12 goals. On this trajectory, he probably will get close to 20, which ain't bad.
Mm.
But I think he's like a Championship Giroud. That's what kind of what he's like. He's like, he's going to do a job, but he's going to ultimately underachieve.
Is he going to get a World
Cup?
That's fair. If there was a Championship World Cup, That's fair.
Do all three of you think that Leeds will go up, Zai? Do you think
Amen. Do you know what? It's my heart obviously says yes.
Mm-hmm.
My head says we're in deep, deep trouble. We've got Brentford away next. You know what? I really admire Brentford. I know you guys don't focus on Championship, but if you did,
watch it a little bit.
Brentford's development and what they've done, they cancelled their youth system. What they've done as a team, as a structure, has been absolutely amazing.
New stadium coming, isn't it?
New stadium as well. So I'm not a Brentford fan, but they are what they've done is a very good template for other Championship clubs and Football League clubs to follow. But yeah, my head says we're in deep trouble. Brentford away tomorrow is a pivotal game, but just gotta dig in.
Josh.
It's not looking good. Maybe they'll get through in the playoffs.
Okay, all right. So
they've got a chance, but
history doesn't sound good for us for the playoffs. But yeah, we'll see.
and G,
I was saying the same thing. I definitely don't think it'll be automatic. I think it'll be playoff, and it just depends on what momentum's like.
A draw, indeed. All right. Let's talk about a team now that may be joining Leeds in the Championship, or maybe in the Premier League. Who knows next season? Let's talk about Bournemouth now, and to do so, I'm going to invite on here first time on the pod, Sam, host of Back of the Net podcast. Sam, how you doing, my friend? Are you there, Sam? Is Sam there? I don't think Sam is there. Let's get Sam back in a moment. Well, let's talk about Bournemouth until we can get Sam back, guys. They're in trouble, G.
Yeah.
Really poor form. 2-1 defeat to Sheffield United over the weekend.
Only team they beat is us.
why you gotta do that?
Give that to people. Right?
They started well, but ultimately lost. Do you think they'll go down?
You know, it's funny because we were talking last week about teams going down and whether West Ham will go down. And I was like, well, there's got to be three teams worse than West Ham. And I looked at it and I'm like, actually, maybe there isn't. And that's kind of where I'm putting Bournemouth now. Mm. Like, I actually think there is a good... I think it may be that the bubbles burst. They won't get rid of Eddie Howe. And I actually think this could be the year that they go down, which is a shame because I like the way they play football. And I like what they're trying to do, but I'm not sure that they'll survive this year.
I think we've got Sam with us now. Sam, are you there, mate?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Nice one, Sam. Cheers for us on the pod this week. So, Bournemouth, the question I want to ask you is regarding Eddie Howe. Do you think he's got too comfortable?
There's a danger of that. That's a very good question. There is a danger of that because he's a manager of what I would call an established Premier League team, in that we aren't expected to go down. We're sort of one of these teams that are usually mid-table, and there are no real goals in terms of Europe, etc. And, you know, as fans, we're happy if we're in any position above 17th, but he's got his own targets. And he's a manager that's always looking for improvement. I think his main aim is to get a bigger points tally year on year. I think that this season has been particularly a struggle because we have had to phase in a number of new players very quickly, mainly down to injury. So we've got sort of five or six new players in the sort of starting 11 each week that have been trying to learn a system that the previous lot they've been playing together for so long, and they've gelled really well, but the new players have had to sort of, you know, relearn it. So he's got a lot of work to do. I think as long as he's got work to do, he'll feel as though he's got a challenge. So I don't think he feels comfortable. And certainly when we were on our bad run, I'm pretty sure that he was possibly worrying about getting the sack, but fortunately he pulled a couple of results out of the bag at the right time.
Do you think that part of why Bournemouth have been so successful under Eddie Howe in the Premier League is that he has so much control over the club, but that at the same time is part of the reason why you're struggling now? Because as a manager, he's, you know, clubs don't really have those sorts of figures anymore who are involved in every element of the club. Most managers now tend to be coaches and let the other departments run their departments, whereas he seems to have full control of the club from top to bottom.
He has, and the club's built around him. I mean, a couple of seasons ago, I was lucky to meet him. We got invited, me and a few other fans got invited before the first game of the season to have a chat with Eddie, with Jason Tindall, the assistant manager, and the chairman about how we can improve the matchday experience and also to sort of regain that connection, because being a Premier League side, I think quite often fans are treated as customers rather than supporters, and it was one of the things he was keen to address. So we met him, but when you sort of walk around the club, it's clear that everything is geared completely around him. And that makes him a very powerful figure. That also makes him incredibly difficult to dispose of as well. But one thing that's worrying is that there's not much accountability, really. Because, like I say, we are a small club, 11,000-seat stadium or whatever it is. And, you know, we are a side that is treading water in the Premier League, but rightly so, given our facilities. So I think as long as he keeps us up, he's got no danger. But even if we were relegated, they would trust him again to be the man to bring us back up. So I think you're right in some ways, is that there is some kind of comfortability, but he himself, he is his own worst enemy, and he will be, you know, looking at our position at the moment, you know, as a supporter, as a fan. He's got pressure from a number of areas, even, you know, sort of either commercially. There are sponsorship deals where there are companies just like hanging on just to see what's happening. We've got a training ground facility, like £38 million training ground facility off-site that's going to, you know, be a Category 1 and is going to develop our youth. And that's almost on the hold at the moment, just to see what on earth goes on. So there's a lot of pressure on him to deliver.
And just finally, Sam, looking over the five years now you've been in the Premier League, do you feel like the good football that you've been playing in that time has almost masked the fact that there hasn't really been any significant progression over that 5 years? Or you finished 16th, 9th, 12th and 14th, which is, you know, respectable for a club like Bournemouth. Is that maybe a bit of a harsh assertion to make?
We would like to see progression, and if Eddie's the manager that he says he is, then we should be seeing a better league position than what we're in at the moment. But this season, I think performances have been pretty poor, and I think this season it's almost been the other way around. Like, the league position at the first part of the season masked how bad we were. Mm. We were sat in 7th and 8th and 9th for a while, and you know how we were there, I'm not too sure. I think everyone was beating each other at that stage, but when you get a run of like 7 or 8 losses on the bounce, then we drop like a stone in the table, and rightly so. And you know, now we're in a struggle, but as Bournemouth, we've always been up against it. We've had many situations like this before, administration and minus 17 points back in League Two 10 seasons ago. So, we kind of are enjoying having a challenge in the Premier League for once, because, you know, being in the top flight is great, but when you finish in sort of 10th, 11th, 12th, it doesn't really mean anything. So at least if we can escape relegation this season, it will be one to look back on as being a fairly successful one in the Premier League, I suppose.
Listen, do you think you'll go down in a word, or do you think you'll fight the drop?
No, I think we will. Performance has improved a lot, and I have faith that we're going to stay up this season.
Sam, where can people find your podcast?
Then go to ascbpodcast.com or just search Back of the Net Bournemouth. And we've also got a YouTube channel as well, which we just started as well. So, yeah, find us there.
Sam, cheers for your time, mate. Thanks very much.
Yeah, no worries at all. Thank you.
Cheers, mate. Sam there from Back of the Net Podcast. Let's talk about Pep now, gentlemen. And we kind of touched on it a little bit last week, G. I'll start with Zai on this one. Is Pep getting off the hook a little bit?
Got to think about how many I just won the title two years on the bounce.
22 points behind Liverpool for me is well unacceptable, and no one's really going in on him on that.
I don't know. I'm not sure you can dig out Pep on that one. To be fair, I think they've had trouble with injuries. I think the thing with the complacency part was they didn't replace Kompany. But when we look back at last season, they only played Kompany for the running. First half of the season, he didn't play much.
He didn't.
I don't think Pep deserves that much in the net. It depends what they do in the Champions League. It's all about Champions League, I think, for Pep
If he wins that,
I don't think they will. But yeah, I think it's how they perform in that. And I think with Liverpool, have Liverpool been that fantastic? No, it's not about Liverpool, but they've won a lot of games marginally. I mean, they're good, efficient, and I think it's about the thing about philosophies. Pep wouldn't want to win the league the way Liverpool have won it.
Mm.
We've just basically run it by legs. So like, would Pep pick Jordan Henderson? No. Mm-hmm. So he's got a certain style. Like I said, Champions League is where Pep will be judged on this year, for sure. But yeah, I mean, it's not easy to win the Premier League 3 years on the bounce. It's not easy at all.
Josh, I mean, I'm not having that. 22 points is for Manchester City to be behind the league leaders, for me, is disgraceful.
I knew you wouldn't have it.
I'm not having it.
I knew you wouldn't have it, but... maybe he's getting off a little easy. Maybe he can get a bit of criticism because they're not really performing. Even being behind Liverpool, they're not really performing at a level where you would expect them to perform. But the only thing I would say, right, is when you come off the back of two seasons where you've just decimated the whole league, the third season, like that group of players, the kind of hunger is, it kind of goes. Mm-hmm. Like, once you've retained in the Premier League and then retained it again. And even when you think about, like, obviously I'm a United fan. When I think about the seasons we had, by the time that kind of team got to the third season,
it was done.
The team was done. Mm. It needed a refresh. Like, there were seasons where we finished third in the league, and our fourth season or third season, and like, we had to change a few things around, change players and stuff. So I just think...
But United won it once, 3 times in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
Fergie won it 3 times.
Yeah, yeah. You won it 3 times in a row. But, like, that was once. Was it once?
Yeah. Once. It's
very rare. So I just think that it's an issue with hunger of the players. Like, I watch City a lot of times this season, and they're not at it in some games. They're just they're coasting through the game, and so I think at that point as well, there's a couple of players. I think they've made some mistakes in transfer market.
We discussed when you were last here the fact that they didn't get. I said that they should have got another left back. You disagreed. You thought that they had Zinchenko. That was enough.
I think they need a centre back.
No, that was obvious, yeah. But then the left back for me was... Oh, the way that Pep plays, left fullbacks are very, very important. And starting the season,
I don't think
with,
the fullback issue is the big deal. I personally think, right, that if you look at, like, I was chatting in the group last game they played, was it Spurs? And I was saying, Mahrez, he's not good enough.
Whoa.
He's not. I'll put it, he's a very good player. Like, he... he's got tricks. But he does the same thing all the time, right? He gets in the box. He's always cutting onto his left foot. And at some point, he gets red. In a lot of games for City, he gets red. If that's Sané in that game against Spurs, they win. They win that game.
Yes, but you can't have four Sanés.
No, what I'm saying is that it's about recruitment. Again, at the back, Laporte, for me, obviously, is
the only good defender they've got.
The only good defender you got. You can't have a team with one solid centre back, right? Mm. Out of what, four?
And whose fault is that?
It's recruitment. That's what I said. It's a recruitment issue. But I'm not having an issue on left back. We had a conversation left back. I don't think the recruitment's been good. I don't think Mahrez was a great signing. Personally, I think if you're trying to win Champions Leagues, right? I don't think Sané is at the level where Mahrez. Mahrez is at the level they needed. And I think this season, not having Sané, I think Sané is their best winger. Personally,
yeah, I agree.
I think he's their best winger. Not having Sané in that team this season has cost them. Not playing Bernardo Silva a lot this season. I don't know why he's not been playing since that issue happened. But he's been out of the team.
But just going back to the Sané
thing. I don't understand.
The Sané thing is interesting because Pep would say, I'm sure, I'd rather have a 7 out of 10 player that has the attitude that I like than a 9 out of 10 player who doesn't. And it clearly, there's something going on between Sané and Pep there, clearly.
I understand that, but I bet you this summer Mahrez is gone. I reckon Mahrez is gone. I think he's done at City. I think he's done because he's played in enough games where he's been in the position
to
affect the game
himself,
and he hasn't done it. I think his time's up, and I think it's not a case of like what, in my opinion, what they should have done in the summer is that Sané wanted to leave. They should have sold him and gone and got someone else, and they didn't do it, and it's cost them.
Well, we spoke to Raphael Honigstein last week, the German football journalist, who reckons that Bayern will reignite their interest in Sané. Are you with me, G? Do you think that Pep is getting away with it too easy, or do you think that there's been circumstances that have led to why they're so far behind? Because 22 points for me, that's 22 points! 20, not 8 points, they're 22 points.
But also wait. The points total that Liverpool have at this time of the season is crazy. As well.
I agree with that, but Liverpool being a freak season, that's not impacting City. Liverpool winning games doesn't mean that Tottenham beat City.
Sometimes psychologically it does, because when a team gets so far ahead, it's hard to motivate yourself to get 3 points to be 12 points behind. You know,
yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So sometimes
22 points, G.
Joe, getting the early lead and getting that. We've seen so many Jose Mourinho teams were the best at it. You get ahead and you file on and it actually by default
in April, May. It's January, February, G.
Yeah, Jordan, they haven't been good enough, but I think we said it last. No one in the league has been good, and that's why he doesn't get the stick that he probably should get, because no one's been good enough. How can you criticise City when you have United there?
What about Chelsea, bro?
Yeah, we're in there too, don't get me wrong.
You start with United.
It's got enough credit in the bank.
No, but I just think it's even more to do with, like, because of what happened the two seasons before. Yeah. I just think it's hot. Like, for me...
I'm not saying he should be sacked. I'm not saying it's embarrassing being 22 points behind.
What I was going to say is I'm going to judge Pep next season. Because for me, it's like, okay... You won the two titles because, like, okay, you were the best team in the league for one of them. Clearly, there weren't no challenges. The second one, there was a challenger. Now there's a challenger, right?
What are you going to do?
Liverpool have basically wiped you off the floor this season. So what are you going to do next season? And when you look at, like, that happened to Fergie sometimes. Like, Wenger came in, did his thing. You know, he had to reset. Mourinho came in, he did his thing. He had to reset. So I'm going to judge Pep on, is he going to hang around for one? I think he probably will stay next season. But then, is he going to be able to mount a title challenge? If he doesn't mount a title challenge next season, he deserves criticism. But I just think it's harsh to play at that higher consistent levels for 3 years. It's really hard. Like, a lot of Liverpool fans are being very bossy about what they think they're going to do over the next few years. Mm-hmm. Let's see if they're able to retain the Premier League and if they can play like that for three seasons straight. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Mm-hmm. Something always happens. Mm. People lose form. Someone goes. Someone gets an injury. Yeah. Something.
Mm, okay, I think you guys are being soft personally. But
Jordan always wants the catastrophe.
I know.
I just think...
No, but you're a harsh person.
It the other day, I kind of... It's 22 points.
Yeah.
This is not like 10 points.
Season, yeah, but when you say... But then when someone's
that's
won...
Not good,
when someone's
man.
Won the league, what's the difference between 22 and 10? It's the same.
There's a big difference, G. That's four to five defeats.
The difference is you stay second. You stay second.
But this is my point. Man City aren't second. They're top of a different league. That's how far they've let Liverpool go away. So I'm like, nah, man. Pep, man. The greatest manager in the world with that squad should not be that far behind Liverpool. Come second, fine.
But you're calling the greatest manager in the world, though, aren't you? Is he the greatest manager in the world?
He's in the top two. It's arguable. And I'm saying if you're a top two in the world, you should not be 22 points behind, even if the other manager is the other arguable best in the world. That gap is not acceptable to me. You've got Aguero, Edison. You've got 22 points, Zai.
It's a lot. It's a freak season. Top games, drop points once this season or something like that.
Bro, listen, they've won. Saying, anyway. How many games did they win?
I don't know. Just like every game.
What Liverpool are doing is a madness.
What Liverpool are doing is a madness.
Think about it last season, yeah?
Yeah.
If they had the points total they had now, last season, how far would City be? It probably wouldn't be 22 points, but it'll be very far.
It wouldn't, yeah.
It'll be very, so I just think there's a lot going on. Like, there's a lot going on.
Right.
25 games, 24 wins, one draw.
That's crazy, bro.
Yes, man.
I'm not disputing that, but I'm not quite sure I agree with the idea that.
Bro, do you know what that's like?
Liverpool are almost perfect, means that City can lose to Wolves.
But what are they playing for on a Saturday then? What are they playing for on a Saturday? Like that Jesus.
Exactly.
What are they playing
but that's
for?
Pep's job then, to get them motivated. You're Pep Guardiola. You're not Sam Allardyce. You're Pep Guardiola. He gets paid a lot of money with a big rep to do the team.
The guy's not a magician, man.
Come second. He's not a magician. Come second, no problem. But it's don't be that far behind, Zai.
Not a magician. Come on.
I think it's going to be tough.
But you know what it's like? You know, like when... Bruv, I have not seen a like this is like when you play Football Manager, bruv.
I've never seen Football Manager.
And you just see a team doing a craziness on Football Manager. This isn't when I look at the football table, yeah, the Premier League table, it don't like I feel
it's fake.
It's not real.
It looks fake.
Yeah, it's not real.
What Liverpool are doing is disgusting.
Real. Yeah.
Granted.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
But anyway, let's have a very quick brief fantasy football update. Coach Gerald Lamy is still top of the league. It was a mad weekend because of I'm pissed. I had Aguero captain and KDB vice captain.
Are they going to replay the game within this thing?
No. So I had nine men and no captain.
Unlucky, bro.
So where do they move your vice captain to?
You don't get one.
You don't get pissed.
Mine's gone to Mane, but I'm not sure whether he's going to play.
Technically, like, it's a bit of a schoolboy error to have your vice captain and captain in the same team.
But that's what I said. My friend was like, you can't foresee that happening. Mm. Okay? You can never foresee that anyway.
But then City are in bad form anyway, as well.
So, yeah. But it's West Ham.
They always ban West Ham
by five or six. So I thought, man's rubbing, you know what I mean? So I thought, anyway, let's move on.
Lucky
from
you
did. Did you triple captain?
That would have been real bad. Anyway. Let's talk all good things Spain. Forget this week, man. Fantasy football is long this week.
Did you drop that far?
I actually moved up. Okay. But I'm just upset.
It's only half
the
game week, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway.
Don't forget, we still got to get Agallo in there as well.
We'll get there in a minute. Let's do a Spanish football update. And for the first time this season, let's invite to the show. He's not quite here yet. We're going to talk about what's happening across Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Atletico. Have you guys been across what's happening? Madrid are currently top of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys been across what's happening in La Liga this season? I know, Josh, you've kind of been. We just spoke about Man City. Do you think Madrid will win that game? That tie, should I say.
Do you know what? I don't know. I actually don't know because if I looked at the two teams, I think City are the better team.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on the form that they can go into that game with. And if we're talking about form, right now I'll put Real Madrid as favourites. But Real Madrid are not exactly playing that well at the moment either. They're winning, but they're not like playing at the top of their game.
And this is the reason why I think the postponement of the game yesterday between Man City and West Ham is going to hurt Man City because they need to get some kind of form
need some momentum.
And they would have battered West Ham, because they always do. They needed that win. Do you know what I mean? That performance ahead of this tie. So
it will be interesting. I think I'm going to, for this tie, I'm going to back City. I think City are going to beat them. I think Madrid are a beatable team. Like, even though they're top of the league right now, mm-hmm. I think they're very beatable. I think their midfield is just not at the level where it should be. Their defence, when I watched them against Real Sociedad, and that Alexander Isak just murdered them. Like, he scored two. He could have scored seven in the game. It was ridiculous. Like, it was absolutely ridiculous. Like, the defence is a shambles at the moment. Like, I just don't understand, like, what's going on there. But they seem to be picking up points. So they'll get wins, but it's just not... They're not playing well. So, in a way, it's a sign of a good team. But if City turn up against them, I think City will win.
Has Hazard lost any weight yet, Drew?
That's so rude.
I think he's on the same routine as you.
So there was a shot before we started recording this podcast from G to me that I've not forgotten, and this is a second shot there.
We'll cut that out anyway. I don't know what's happening with Eden out there, man. It's almost inexplainable, because the guy, I mean, apart from one season for Chelsea, the guy has just been so consistent, even if the numbers haven't always supported that. He's been consistent in performance. But, you know, they always say about, you know, a player coming back from injury might be like a new signing, and maybe he could be the guy to make the difference against City, but I can't see it based on what he's done so far. I think it's not like one goal, isn't it? Crazy.
Is he going to be fit for the game?
I don't know. Yeah.
They need to play Bell.
Yeah. Well, I still see Zidane said that Bell will play a big part between now and the end of the season. Wow. I don't know what Zidane does with Bell. Like, it's just, they have it's crazy. But then they'll come to the media and they go, oh no, he's my guy, I trust him, and all this kind of stuff. And then I heard Bale left like before the end of a game, like they were losing 4-1 and he ducked out like 10 minutes before the end.
The traffic's really bad there in Madrid, apparently.
Right.
Let's now get an expert. We've now got Ben with us from the Evening Standard Spanish football correspondent. Ben, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Jordan. Thanks. How about you?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. It's the first time we've heard you this season. We've not really done much Spanish football this year, so we're glad to get you on. We were talking about the big three in Spain. We were just talking there about Real Madrid. Their clash against Manchester City coming up. Who do you make favourites for this tie?
You know, it's going to sound like I'm sitting on the fence here, but...
No fence sitting on the pod here, Ben. No fence sitting.
Hear me out. Yeah, so I think it's in the balance, honestly. Manchester City obviously not playing as well as they can do, and I think it's this one team that, you know, can cause some problems. It's Real Madrid, and you know, Real Madrid obviously last season had a disastrous campaign in the Champions League after Ronaldo left, after Zidane left, but this season they're looking good. You know, they got knocked out of the cup the other day, but they're leaving La Liga, and they're back on song. And I think the way that Manchester City play could suit Real Madrid, obviously. On the counter-attack, they're very, very strong. They're going to have Hazard back for that one as well. And, you know, when it comes to Europe, I don't know. You know, Guardiola always tries something different and it hasn't worked out, you know, in recent seasons. I think City would fear Real Madrid, obviously, their pedigree in the competition. And, maybe I would make Madrid slight favourites for that reason.
How's Hazard getting on this season?
I mean, he's missed the last 16 games because of injury. Oh, wow. He was cut down just when he was starting to play really, really well against PSG in the Champions League in November. Probably Real Madrid's best performance this season, even though they didn't win the game. They went 2-0 up and ended up drawing 2-2. But they were really, really good in that game. And yeah, it was an ankle injury, which didn't seem to be very serious at first. But yeah, he's been out ever since. And might be back next weekend, though. So just in time for the Champions League.
All right. Let's go over to Barcelona now, Ben. Messi versus Barca. There's a spat there, obviously, last week between Lionel Messi and the sporting director, former player Eric Abidal. Listeners will know Abidal made assertions that the players were at fault as to why Valverde got the sack. Messi wanted him to call out some names. What's the latest now? Where are we at with this saga? Because there was all talk about Messi wanting to leave and revelations about a release clause in his contract. Has this calmed down now? And has Abidal gotten back in his box, or is there still tension there? Barca?
Yeah, I think the tension is there, Jordan. I don't think it's going to go away that easily. But I also don't think Messi's going to leave anytime soon. You know, he does have that clause that you mentioned. He can walk away at the end of the season for free if he wants to. But his whole life is in Barcelona, his family, you know, his kids. And he loves the club as well. I don't think he'd walk away.
Is that the reason why Barca allowed him to put that clause in? That were they banking on the fact that he loves the club, loves the city, loves the country so much, he would never really invoke it and leave for free? Because I don't understand why he would put that clause in a contract.
I know, it seems like a strange one, but Xavi and Iniesta and Puyol had similar clauses in their contracts. It's just kind of like a sort of gentleman's agreement, really, for players who've come through the youth system and been at the club their whole lives. And with the thinking that if they are going to leave, they're not going to leave to another European rival. They might, I don't know, go and play in Qatar or in the States or something like that. But certainly it's more that kind of thinking. I can't see Messi leaving. And, you know, even if he did want to leave, you know, someone's got to pay those wages.
Yeah, true.
And there aren't many clubs around who could even get close to paying those wages, and you know, financial fair play would be a real issue. But you know, as I say, his whole life's in Barcelona. I think it's going to blow over, and you know, the tensions will probably remain. But as long as he's happy living in the city, I can't see him leaving Barcelona anytime soon.
And just briefly on Barcelona, are they going to be looking for a new manager in the summer?
You know, who knows? Setien is doing all right. The problem is, you know, you sack a coach who's top of La Liga and, you know, unbeaten in the Champions League, and it's very difficult for the new man who comes in. And Setien, you know, he's trying to introduce a different kind of playing style, which takes time. And in the middle of a season, that's not ideal. But, you know, signs are good. Last night, I was at a game in Seville. I thought it was good, at least in attack, and there are definite signs of improvement. So, they could well go trophyless, and it remains to be seen, whether the Barca board will keep Setien in the job. He's got a 2.5-year contract. It would be extremely harsh for them to get rid of him after 6 months. And if they did that, then the pressure would also be on them. So, I think they'll back Setien, even if he doesn't win a trophy. But you can never be sure with a club like Real Madrid or Barcelona.
No, for real. And finally, moving over to Atletico now, Ben. Speaking of managers, also a situation that might not be for much longer. Is Simeone done at Atletico? We were speaking earlier on to a Bournemouth fan earlier on about, you know, how and, you know, maybe run his course at Bournemouth. Does it feel a little bit like Diego Simeone has run his course at Atletico Madrid?
Well, it's the first time I've ever heard Atletico Madrid compared to Bournemouth.
I'm not comparing. You get my point, Ben. You get my point.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, and it's valid. You know, the figures came out from L'Equipe last week, the highest paid coaches in the world, and Diego Simeone is the highest paid of all the coaches in the world, which is phenomenal, really, for a club like Atletico to be paying those kind of wages. But he is a complete icon there, and he's got a kind of there's a kind of aura about Simeone at Atletico. And, you know, it's maybe comparable a little bit to Arsene Wenger at Arsenal. I know he kind of stayed a bit too long. But the feeling is that, a bit like with Wenger, that Simeone will decide when he goes. Mm. Is that going to be in the summer? I don't know. You know, it's been said, you know, in recent seasons as well, is Simeone done? Is this his last season? And, you know, he keeps going. This time it feels a little bit different. A lot of the players who come in don't feel like they're really Simeone-type players. They've lost a lot of leadership in the dressing room. Obviously, Griezmann left, but Godin left. That was huge. And, you know, they lost the spine of their team with Felipe and Juanfran and a number of others. So, they've only got the Champions League left, really, now. The league is looking difficult, and they're out of the cup. So, and, of course, they face Liverpool. So, that's huge, very extremely difficult. So, I think it's possible that it could be coming to an end for Diego Simeone at Atletico, but it'll be up to him in the end to decide.
Ben, cheers for your time, mate.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thanks, mate. Cheers, mate. Ben Hayward there from the Evening Standard, Spanish football correspondent. Gents, let's wrap up with a couple of quick points. First of all, I've been nominated for an SJA for my documentary on South London Ballers for TalkSport. And for those that don't know, SJA is like, it's like the Grammys of like sports journalism. Josh is like, to my left here, just BAFTAs, man. It's the Oscars of like football journalism. Josh, our producer's not entirely sure. So I don't know why I'm telling you guys, because you can't vote for it, but big up to all the people that contributed to that documentary, and I'll let you know in a couple of weeks if we won. Statue for Wenger. Zaya, I read today that Arsenal have actually... The weird thing I found about this story is that Arsenal have actually asked Arsene Wenger if he's comfortable with them making a statue for him. And apparently he approved it and said, yeah, I'm cool with that, I'm cool with that.
No, probably didn't want it to bring his value down. Everyone gets a statue there.
On G's point there, do you feel that he's justified in having a statue, or do you think that he didn't do what you feel statues should be erected for?
Well, I think if you look at the Wenger reign in its entirety, because that's what it is, they should probably produce half the statue for Wenger, because he was only good for half the time. So whether they want the top half or the bottom half, I'm not sure.
Rude.
Half in gold, half in sports.
No, don't get me. I'm still I'm a massive Wenger fan. He's got a lot of class. He's a very astute.
You might get him next year.
Let's move. Yeah, I'll think on that one. I don't think it's the time is not good. I don't think for PR sake, for Arsenal wise, I don't think the time is good for a Wenger statue. I think Wenger did a lot for Arsenal, but again, he's only good half of the time. So, and the timing ain't great.
G?
I think, you know, it's one of those things.
Three
like,
Prems, invincible.
Yeah, three Prems.
Changed the face of English football.
In 20 years. In 20 years.
Only two people have done that before, or done that at all.
You mean for Arsenal?
No, Jose and Fergie.
But how many years take Jose?
That's it. So should we give Jose a statue as well?
Respect.
You start your own club.
No, in answer to your question,
he didn't quite achieve what you think a statue is worthy of.
You know what? I feel like if you wait 20 years where people have forgotten the last five years, and like everyone's too old and they're like, oh, Arsene Wenger, you know, invincible, blah, 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 then you could kind of pull it up. I think now it just looks bad. And I think there's probably still a little bit of bad feeling towards him from some Arsenal fans.
Yeah.
And I think if Arsenal are doing crap whilst that statue then suddenly comes up, it's going to be a disaster.
It's going to be defaced.
Yeah. Because you still hear Arsenal fans saying they blame him for what's happening now.
Like me.
Even though two men are you got to de-Wengerize the situation.
Un-Wengerize.
To be fair, I agree. They still got better elements.
Josh Noddy said, what do you reckon? I mean, Fergie didn't get his stand until well after he achieved lots of the stuff that he achieved at United. It wasn't like it was at the peak of his success. He got it later on, didn't he?
How many times?
I'm trying, dude. Well, no, I mean it.
That's because he had to retire first or leave first, right? You're not going to do it while he was there.
What, so, the stand?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have. Yeah. They could have built a stand for him after he retired.
Two Champions League trophies, come on.
Did he leave on a winner?
Do you know what? I actually think that he deserves a statue.
You're taking the piss.
I'm not the full statue.
I would think he deserved the full statue, because I think you got to look at it in the context. And this is the problem. This is the problem with Wenger, because he should have left sooner, and this wouldn't be a conversation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he kind of sold his legacy a little bit, but I think the whole de-Wengerize the situation, I still think that the club is more culpable than him. And we're seeing that now. Because the same things are happening, right? And I kind of feel like the statue, in terms of what he won, no, I don't think he should get a statue. But I think a statue is more than what he won. It's about his legacy. It's about...
But the impact.
You
talk legacy.
Hold on,
this is the legacy.
I know what you're saying. The impact he had on the club, the move, the stadium move, and all of that kind of stuff. So moving into the Emirates and all that. And he was the one who kind of was on top of that whole era, if that makes sense. And he was heavily involved in all of those things. So I think it's a the problem is that the club haven't done their job, in my opinion. Because since they've moved into that stadium and the money that they're generating and, you know, they're everything that's happening, yeah. they have not capitalized, they have not invested correctly. Like, even with the managers now, Emery and Arteta, you can't really say they were backed properly, right? Arteta, we'll see in the summer. So I think what he did at Arsenal, the way he revolutionized the game, the impact that he had on the Premier League, right? And if Henry's got a statue, then Wenger deserves a statue.
That's nah, the only. Bro. That's the only. Sorry, that's bro. The only justification.
I, if not, Henry's got a statue. I think he deserves a statue.
I mean,
you need to thank us. No, but wait. What if Wenger bringing in all the quality foreigners? You lot wouldn't have known how to.
You should be
thanking us.
So what? We're gonna
have Sander.
We're gonna have a statue of Wenger with like the shovel.
Ah. Andre Silva.
Holding up a number four.
This is the thing. This is the thing. What I'm saying, like, it hurts me a little bit. That we're talking about Wenger like this.
Me too.
Talking about it like he was a nobody.
No. I think, you know what?
He was a nobody, bruv.
You know what? Before you mentioned, I reckon it's like, actually, that was probably his downfall. He got too involved. Why are you doing the blueprints for stadiums?
No, I understand.
I don't think it was that. I think it was Josh first, but I think he stayed for too long.
He stayed for too long.
I think part of why he
also lost his touch, bruv. Because you know when he was signing gems like Pires and Lundberg for peanuts and nobody knew about this guy?
Let me go deeper with it, right, yeah? People are saying Wenger. I don't think Wenger was a top manager like Jose Mourinho, like Ferguson in his heyday, like Pep. But I think he was a tear below, right? I think he was a manager tear below, yeah? But the funny thing about Wenger and Arsenal is that even when they weren't doing well, yeah? I said something when you guys lost to Chelsea in the Europa final, yeah? I said Wenger would have won that.
Nah.
I said Wenger. And you know what? The funny thing is, yeah? Wenger won cups, even when you lot are doing...
Against who, bro?
These Emery and them man there, they're not winning nothing. They're not doing anything, bro.
But you also went for six, seven years without winning anything.
Yeah, but who did he beat in the finals? Hull.
He still has to win the trophies, bro. He wouldn't have beat that Chelsea team. I'm not a great head backer of Chelsea.
But
don't get me twisted. He deserved the sack and you weren't a top manager and you weren't doing... But what I'm trying to say is, don't think that you lot have not regressed since he's left. I don't think any manager's come in and done anywhere, got anywhere near what he was doing when you lot were rubbish.
All right, so that it sounds like it's a 2-1 on the statue front there.
You know what? Do what you like. You know, it's a free country.
How can Henry have a statue and Wenger can't have one?
We've all mocked the Henry statue, but Henry should have one.
I disagree with that. Why not? The greatest Premier League player
for doing what?
Arsenal's record goal scorer.
Yeah, for doing what?
Even doing what?
For doing
record goal scorer at club and the greatest Premier League player,
the one that bottled the Champions League final.
His greatest achievement in football
was at Barcelona.
Exactly.
What he does at Barcelona, at Monaco, that's not Arsenal, he was the greatest footballer the Premier League has seen.
And a record goal scorer.
Wenger's best signing.
What do we won? We won two Prems.
That's it.
In what, 8 years? 7 years?
2 years. In 7 years.
Then
you won a couple of cups. Bruv, if you won two Prems at Man United in 7 years, you ain't getting a statue, bruv. You ain't getting nothing.
Well, Paulo Ferreira's on two Prems. In fact, it's one more
let's
than two.
Let's shout about Ighalo now.
Two Prems.
Dennis Irvin's on a few, you know.
Was it three times top scorer in the league? Come on, man. Respect Henry. Bro, respect
Paul Parker's on a few as well.
Respect Henry. Anyway.
You got a man like Paul Parker.
Right, let's move on to another top striker. Ighalo, we missed it last week.
Man said top striker. Can I just say, yeah, man like Ighalo has got more Premier League goals in the Prem season than Lacazette, so hold your noise.
Fire. What year was that though, bro?
Please.
What year was that though?
Not that long ago. It weren't that long ago, bro.
Is that 3 seasons
LVG
ago?
Was here.
So is this a defence of the signing?
It's not a defence, bro. I'm saying, bro, don't come for us, bro, because I will bet you that he scores more from between now and end season than Lacazette.
That's fair.
I will put money on it.
You know what?
What do you reckon, Jude?
I'll put money on it.
I'll back Josh, I bet, to be fair.
I'll put money on it.
But is he even fit yet? Because I've heard China were in their pre-season. So it might be a little way.
He didn't go to Dubai. Where are you guys?
No, he can't go.
He hasn't passed. No, visa. You got visa.
No, because of the coronavirus.
I heard it was the visa thing.
No. They didn't want to. They didn't want to risk him being quarantined.
The cover.
Nah, getting quarantined.
Quarantined, yeah, bro.
So just to wrap up briefly, how do you think he'll do?
I think he might.
Banner aside, I think he'll bang a few goals still.
I think he might do okay, right? I think he might do okay. I think he's a different type of striker to what we have and kind of what we need. But I don't think that he's of the level that we should have been getting.
That's the issue, isn't it? Right? The issue isn't will he score goals. The issue is
Man United signing Ighalo from China. But if he... all the stars have to align, innit? Like, basically, G will remember...
for him to score goals, you
know? No, not for him to score goals. Not for him. G will remember...
Divine intervention.
The World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember it too.
And he was the chance he was missing, he was washed. But, fair to him, the last African Cup of Nations, he was a top scorer.
With how many?
I don't remember.
But I can't forget that World Cup, man.
But he was a top scorer.
He was watching the World Cup.
I mean, if he was top scorer with three goals, then that's
No, it was five or something like that.
Okay.
But the World Cup kind of like was one of them ones where I just wrote him off. I wrote him off. But to be fair to him, when he's on form, like I remember the Watford season.
The second when he's half, on form, he fell off a cliff.
And he's like, yeah, his dad died, but let's not get into that. When he's on form, he can hold the ball. He's physical. He can link up the play.
He's got one two skill.
But like, do you know what? What I would say, yeah, is that the major thing for me why it don't make sense is the fitness. Because they've been in pre-season. So when you sign someone in January, you want someone to come and hit the ground running.
Yeah.
It's a bit mad. But do you know what? We need a striker, bro. That's all I say. I'm not going to lie. If Martial picked up an injury and we hadn't signed a striker in January, I would have went mad at the club. Like, the club, I'm already frustrated with them, but what kind of stupidness is that?
You know, Rondon was free though, you know.
Nah.
Anyway, on that note, and Lukaku's banging goals. He's chatting about he's the new king of Milan.
Fastest player to score 20 goals.
Yeah, but Lukaku's banging right about now. He's loving
life. But let's be honest about like the Lukaku. We should have kept him, or if we sold him, we should have replaced him. Do you understand?
Sanchez got an assist as well, thinking that.
The young get a clean sheet.
Nah, they get a clean sheet.
Even Victor Moses got an assist.
Do you know? No, it's crazy. Ibrahimovic scored as well.
He scored, yeah. Scored goal and assist.
Yeah. Ibrahimovic scored as well.
They are mocking your club,
But we've got this club over here. Who's backup strikers
for the listeners? Josh is pointing to Chelsea, by the way.
And Giroud,
yeah,
Mr. Score No Premier League Goals, Giroud.
Respect Giroud,
right? These men over here have got Lacazette starting.
Josh is pointing to me, by the way.
So I don't understand why we're talking about strikers, bro. Because you man you lot should have signed Ighalo.
Oh wow!
You lot should have signed Ighalo.
That's all right. We'll stick with Mitchie.
We're all right. We're good.
Because, bro,
Josh is pissed.
When you got a backup striker that can't score prem goals, and when you got a starting number nine, you can't score prem goals.
I heard you were interested in signing him. That's the worst thing.
That's paper talk.
You can sign Ighalo, you can sign a Giroud.
That's paper talk.
Anyway,
Giroud ever got more than 15 Prem goals?
I don't know.
So he's never outscored Ighalo in the Premiership.
I think 1 year he got 14 or 15 goals.
So basically he's never. Mama, you lot are trying.
I mean, he's their problem now. To be fair, you know what I mean?
No, but you got Lacazette. He hasn't even got past 13. So relax.
All right. On that note, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Spotify. Josh and G and Zai, your first time to come on the pod this week, my friend. Check us out next week and check us out every week. We're on the pod. Where are we? I can't talk properly now. We're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on Audio Boom as well. Subscribe to us on all those platforms. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Leave us a comment. Share the thing. You know what to do. Until next week. Peace. Gallo.
Nice one.
So that was wow. That's a solid defense.
It was.
You came out swinging.